end of February of this year, 2022, if you guys can even remember that far back. It was a Sunday. It was after wake. And frankly, I was tired. Sometimes I'm tired, guys. I know you might not believe that, but I was tired. And I went home, long day at wake. I'm sure the game was awesome. Karate Joe probably killed it back when I was still managing him. And as I was going home, I was like, you know what I need? A nap. Are naps cool for you guys, or is it still like lame to nap? Eighth grade was like, we love naps. Sixth graders were like, I think I should like naps because like older people tell me. Good. Some of you like naps. Guys, one of the things you need to know about me is I love to nap. I love naps. Feel tired? Boom, take a nap. It's perfect. It's part of my Sunday schedule is to take a nap. So I was going home the end of February, last Sunday of February. I get home. I mean, it's like a rainy day. The cloud coverage is perfect. The windows are dark. I turn on my fan. It's like a cool 67 degrees in my room, and I'm snuggled in. This is ideal nap scenario, isn't it? Yeah. Some of you might be falling asleep just thinking about it. So I was there laying on my pillow. I have a Batman pillowcase, true story. I was laying on my pillow, and I was like, you know what? I'll just check Instagram first before I go to bed. So I pulled out my phone, laying right here like this. And guys, I scrolled on my phone for 3 hours. 3 hours. And then I had to get up and I went to small group. So I had my small groups on Sundays because I come and visit some of your small groups on Wednesdays. So I knew I had a window. I had a 3 hour good chunk. I was like, I'm going to feel so rested. And then I was laying in my bed. Sure enough, scroll, 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 scroll. How many of that has ever been you? Like how many of you, that's been me. You're like, man, I can relate to that. Good. Good. I know some of you can. Guys, that is exactly what this series is about. Today, we are starting our three-part series called Stay Tuned. And the idea with this is that you are in a society that is only promoting technology and streaming and Instagram and video content and all these things, and your world is being clouded by more and more content and more distractions. And I have a couple of interesting things, statistics, that I looked up before I started this. So I want you guys to listen and think, this is true. This isn't like I made it up to sound like this needs to be talked about, but these are true statistics. So first, I want you guys to know, like, our generation, mine and yours, we're both Gen Z, our generation is currently being destroyed by technology and social media. We are losing the battle. It is not going well for us. We are the loneliest generation to have ever lived. We are the most depressed and suicidal generation. We use our technology to escape from reality. When things are hard, we turn to our phone and we use it to escape. Guys, we are being taught that the best way to use our time is to just spend it on our phone. The average Gen Z person, how many hours a day do you think they spend on their phone? Average. 6, 4, 12. The average person spends, well, it's not quite 85, but the average person spends 8 hours a day on their phone. That's Gen Z. How many of you don't have a phone? Raise your hand if you do not have a phone. So just think, you guys were included in that statistic. So for all of you that don't have a phone, you're obviously weighing the average way to one side. But it says that the average Gen Zer spends 8 hours on their phone. The average person, listen to this, picks up their phone and checks it and holds their phone, touches their phone 2,617 times in one day. That is 2,617 times that you are being tempted to think about something other than God. I know these facts sound ridiculous, but they're from the internet, so they must be absolutely true. No, I'm just kidding, but they are true facts. Like, I did the research, and these are true. And so the reason that I start with these facts, is because I want you to realize that even if you're sitting there and you're like, I don't even have a phone, I don't need to listen to this, you are going to walk into a world where you'll be given a phone and told, maybe not by your parents, but by society, that it's smart to spend 8 hours a day on your phone, that you need to make sure you check your phone. Here's some more statistics that I read. This one's on like a fancy chart. 74% of Americans feel uneasy leaving their phone at home. 71%, that's literally 3 out of 4 feel like they can't leave their phone at home. 71% of Americans say they check their phone within the first 10 minutes of waking up. So it's one of the very first things they do. 61% of people said that they have texted someone that was in the same room as them. 48% of people, I know, it sounds ridiculous. 48% of people, stay with me. 48% of people say that they feel a sense of panic or anxiety when their phone is on low battery. So this is a real issue that you guys are walking into. I know it might sound ridiculous, but these are true facts. So I want you to listen to me. Because I know what you might be thinking, Cooper, you're supposed to read from the Bible, and there's nowhere in the Bible that's going to tell me about my iPhone. And I would say you are absolutely correct. However, why I'm so excited about this and what I think is so cool is that the Bible, while it was written obviously before technology, it has plenty of things to say about technology. And in fact, the Bible can be used to talk about any of the topics and issues that we might be facing today, even things that have come up since before the Bible was written. So we're going to use God's word that was written before technology to take some of the principles and look at how we should be engaging with our technology. So with that kind of out of the way, I also want you to know if you don't have a phone, this principle that we're going to talk about is going to be better for food. It's going to be better for your sleep, for your work. There's a lot of principles you can take out of this. Okay, but without any more kind of talking about it, we're going to dive in. So if you have your Bible, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And as you're turning there, I want to challenge you. If you already, be honest, if you have already looked at your phone for a reason other than taking notes, raise your hand, be honest. Even if you're a leader, be honest. You've checked it for like, I was playing a game for a second or something like that. Look around. Look around. So to say you don't have a problem is wrong because I'm looking at you and all of you couldn't, I've been up here for 3 minutes and you couldn't go 3 minutes without being on your phone. So, all right, guys, bring it in. Bring it in. Bring it in. I want to challenge you guys, as you're flipping your Bibles, maybe some of you on your phones, to not use your phone for anything other than taking notes in your Bible for the next 15 minutes. Do you accept the challenge? Okay. Okay, let's see. If you see your neighbor, feel free to quietly tap them. Okay, let's lock in. We're going to start reading 1 Corinthians 10. The context here is that Paul, you guys are going to miss the context. The context here, where this picks up, is that Paul is talking about idolatry. He is talking about Israel's history and how they have done a poor job of keeping God as their God, and they've wanted to pull other things and make it their God. And then in just a second, he's going to talk about an idea of eating food that was sacrificed to idols. It's a little complicated, but I'll explain it when we get there. But what you need to know is ultimately, Paul is talking about idolatry to the first or to the church at Corinthians. So we're going to start in verse 21, then we're going to read. I'm going to talk about it, read, talk about it. Verse 21. You cannot drink, talking about idolatry, you cannot drink from the cup of the Lord and from the cup of demons too. You cannot eat at the Lord's table and at the table of demons too. What? Do we dare to rouse the Lord's jealousy? Do we think we are stronger than he is? Okay, point number one, I want you to write this down. You can only follow one way. You can only follow one way. So, guys, like I was telling you, today the world is addicted to social media, to content, to phones, to technology, to things like that. That is the way that our world is drifting. I showed you the statistics, and even a lot of you were quick to go on your phones while I started talking. So that is where our world is headed. And I want you to picture this, all right? You're going on a jungle expedition, and you pull up with maybe some of your best jungle exploring friends, and you're in the cabana where there's three jungle guides, and you see one of them, and he looks buff. He's got like a knife, like ammo with no gun, but like just the ammo thing on his chest. Looks strong in the jungle, a machete. You walk up to him, and you're like, hey, I would love for you to lead me through the jungle. Can you tell me a little about yourself? He's like, absolutely. Here's what you need to know. One, I'm extremely allergic to plants. If I touch plants, I start breaking out in hives, I get super itchy. I'm really allergic to plants. I can't read a map, so I really don't know how to get to where I'm going or where I'm supposed to be. And I need to let you know, the last group that I led through the jungle did not make it. Are you ready to go on our adventure?
Yeah.
None of you would sign up for that jungle adventure. And what I want to tell you is, that is the adventure that we sign up for when we commit to following the way that the world would lead us. When we commit to following the way that the world would lead us, what we're committing to is following a group of people that hate God, they deny that his word is true, and ultimately, they have already been defeated by God. These are the types of people that it's talking about when it's talking about the world, the people that are drinking from the cups of demons or submitting to idolatry. So when we look at this and we see the way that our culture is drifting, we don't want to follow them because of the type of people that they are. And so it's important that you know who you're following and you know the way that you're following, because like I said, you can only follow one way. It's like if you were to put 2 feet in different canoes, eventually maybe you'd be able to keep them together, but they're going to drift apart and you would have to pick one. That's the same way. A lot of us today want to live how we want to live, but like still get into heaven. Like as long as I can get into heaven, that's great. But I don't really want to like make the sacrifices that it takes to get there. And what I would say is eternity with Jesus comes from a life on earth that is surrendered to Jesus. And so you want to play this like 1 foot in each game, kind of like, I like doing this stuff, but I also know like God's good for me and like I like him. And so we try to keep our feet in two buckets, and that's what we're starting to see with social media and technology, is that it's so new. It's like, oh, the Bible doesn't talk about it. Like God doesn't really care how I spend time on my screen. It's my phone, like he gets it. When I'm not on my phone, I'll serve God, but I just want to veg out. I just want to spend my time doing whatever I want to do. I just want to watch this one video. Nobody will know. That's how we can be kind of slowly tricking ourselves with following the way that the world is leading us. And like I said, you cannot follow both ways. So that's the first point that it's important for us to remember, is you can only follow one way when it comes to everything, but obviously for today in the context of technology. And so now we're going to keep reading. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, you say, talking to the people, Paul's talking to the people, you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but I say, not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others, so you may eat any meat that is sold in the marketplace without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And then skipping down to verse 30, if I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it? So point number two, write this down. Just because you can does not mean you should. Just because you can does not mean you should. This same idea I talked about earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. He says the same thing again. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. So as we're looking at this, there's two questions that we need to think about when we're making decisions. The first one, is it right or is it wrong? That's the first question that we should ask. So, example, stealing from the store, wrong. Cheating on a test, wrong. Lying to my parents, wrong. These things are obvious, right? We know that we shouldn't do them. Sometimes we do them, but when we were making a decision, we'd be like, no, I shouldn't do that because I know that it's wrong. So that's the first filter that our decision-making goes through. Filter number two is it wise? So maybe it's not wrong, or it's not sin per se, but is it wise? Examples of that. Eat McDonald's 3 times a day, every day. You're not overeating, you're eating a normal amount, but you're eating it every day. Not wise. Putting off your homework until the night before. It's not necessarily sin, but it's not the best for you. It's not wise. And then another one, spending all your money on new clothes. Again, not wise. I know you guys are being silly, but you understand these are not things that are wise. And so what this verse is talking about is the Jews, now Christians, have been set free from the law, right? So they are no longer necessarily bound to all these things, and this is a little complicated, but they're talking about eating food that was sacrificed to idols. This is food that was basically used as a offering to a god that is not real. It's an idol. Like we said, we're talking about idolatry. And so what this point is making is saying you obviously don't want to be worshiping that idol. However, you can take that food and eat it, and it's no problem to you, right? Like, you know that the idol's not real. You're not doing it as a sign of worship. It's just food. It's just meat. So we understand, like, hey, you can do that because it's been allowed to you because you're no longer under the law. And again, that's a little bit confusing, but the main point that I want you to take from that is just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should do something. And so how does this play out with technology specifically? Not everything that is offered to you is wise for you to do. Example, social media. A social media platform, maybe TikTok, Instagram, whatever it is, it could cause insecurity. It could create in you like this fear of missing out, this FOMO. It could tempt you to gossip, like, oh my gosh, did you see what she posted? How she looked, da 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 da. So it might not be wise for you to be on social media. Starting a YouTube channel. It might have a misplaced identity. You might be consumed in thinking that every time someone likes my video, that makes me more valuable. Every subscriber I get, I am now more valuable. Or maybe even having a TV in your bedroom, that might not be wise. You might stay up too late and you're not going to be rested for the next day. You might watch something in secret that you shouldn't be watching. Even having a phone could be something that is maybe not wise for you yet. It could isolate you from your friends and your family. It could stimulate this idea of anxiety and create a form of addiction to your phone. So just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. Remember, is it wrong or is it wise? Are the two questions we want to be asking as we think through things in our life. Another example is it's also important to know that every choice we make has a consequence, right? That consequence could be good or bad, but ultimately, like, you are a slave to something. You are either a slave to a bedtime or you are a slave to being exhausted in the morning, right? Like, you don't have to go to bed at your bedtime, maybe, because you're not ruled by your bedtime. But then what's going to happen the next day is you're going to be tired. You might not be slave to brushing your teeth, but if you're not brushing your teeth, you are then slave to having cavities and going to the dentist and having rotten teeth, right? So every choice that you make has a natural consequence that comes with it. You might cleaning your room or a messy room, practicing or sitting on the bench. That was something that I did quite a bit. Homework or bad grades, right? These are all options. And maybe you're not required to do anything, but if you don't do your homework, you're going to get a bad grade. It's in the same way. That's how we should be thinking about this idea with social media and phones and things like that, right? Like, we're going to be slave to something. Maybe you don't have boundaries on your phone. Okay, great. Well, maybe you spend 8 hours scrolling on your phone a day. And what I want you to know is the God of the universe wants to spend time with you. Like, sometimes you can hear that on a stage, you'd be like, yeah, that's great, talking to the guy next to me. No, like, you, specifically you, the person that I'm talking to. The God of the universe wants to spend time with you. And so every time that we spend our time on social media or scrolling or things like that, and what I want you to know is it's not all bad, right? Like, I have Instagram, I have social media, and it's not all bad. But this next point we're going to talk about in a second will help us know how do we walk with these things. But what I want you to know is every time that you're spending on your phone, like I said, that 2,617 times you can be tempted to pick up your phone, is a time that you are tempted to think about something other than God. And so, and now as we've talked about these two things, I want to move into the last point, and we're going to start by reading verse 31. It says, so, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And point number three is that we should use our technology for the glory of God. Technology is like a hammer. It can be used to build things and create and provide shelter through building houses and things like that, or it can be used to seriously injure someone, and it can be used to destroy, right? It's a hammer. A hammer's not good or bad, but it's how you use it. And that's in the same way with our relationship with technology. Social media is not evil. Technology is not evil, but people can use it to do evil. So what are some ways that we should use technology? I'm hearing you ask metaphorically, so I'll answer you. One of the ways that we can practically use our technology is encouraging others. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. It could look like using your phone and calling someone. It could be leaving a nice, genuine, not sarcastic comment. It can be used to bring people together. Like, these are all things that can be used to encourage one another with technology. Another example of a way that we can use technology to honor God is to be light in darkness. Matthew 5:14 calls us, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. So my fiance is on social media. Her name's Bree. Some of you have met her before. We're getting married in 28 days, which is super exciting. And she is someone, thank you, I know, I'm more excited than all of you combined. I'm just masking it. But, guys, yeah, she's someone that's on social media, and she is someone that I have seen use social media as a tool to communicate the things of God in a way that people can understand. God's gifted her to be an incredible writer, so she uses Instagram, posts a picture, and then puts captions that are intentional and thoughtful so that people might read them, and then their affections might be stirred to love God more. And that's a way that I have seen social media be used to bring light in a dark place. Another example is to create content that promotes the things of God. And an example that comes to mind is Dude Perfect, right? They're not maybe explicitly preaching the gospel in all their videos. However, all of their videos are honoring to God in the way that they have fun with one another, in the way that they lift one another up, in the way they don't promote the things that other YouTube channels and people in the world can be promoting. So those are three practical examples of, like, hey, here's how social media can be good. Now, what I want to finish with is that it's so important that we have boundaries, right? The reason that I was able to scroll for 3 hours instead of taking a glorious nap was because I had no boundaries on my phone. What happened was I didn't realize YouTube Shorts were a thing, found them, got lost in the void. And what happened is now obviously I have blocks on my phone for that. But I want to tell you, this is me, someone who speaks on stage, works at a church. This is the blocks that I have to put on my phone to help me honor this principle. One, all my apps lock at 9:30 p.m. and they don't open again until 8:30 screen time. Two, I only have 35 minutes of social media a day. Three, all the stumbling blocks anywhere that I might go that would lead me to sin are completely blocked on my phone. Four is I don't know my own screen time password. Some of you probably have screen time and you know your password and you're like, 15 more minutes, put in my 8898, whatever your code is. That's my locks phone to my whatever. Now you know. But so those are things that I have on my phone. And then another thing that I do is I charge my phone across the room at night. I don't even put it by my bed. Obviously, I did that with the nap. But now I have things in place to help me live separate from my phone. But some ideas that I thought of for you that you can write down of ways that you can protect yourself from being a slave to your technology are Bible before phone. So in the morning, a statistic said people pick up their phone in the first 10 minutes. You commit, hey, I'm not going to look at my phone until I've read my Bible for the day. That's a great option. Or if you don't have a phone, I'm not going to play video games until I've read my Bible today. Or I'm not going to, whatever it is, fill in the blank. Two, you should be able to fast from your phone some points, maybe once a week or throughout the day. You take an hour off. You should be okay and able to spend time away from your phone. And a lot of you might be thinking, like, I don't need to do this. Like, this isn't a problem. Like, this is easy. Like, I'm not even addicted. Okay, then prove it. Like, put these things in place and prove that it's not an addiction for you. Be like, yeah, I will not go for 4 hours today. Won't use my phone for 4 hours or whatever it is. And what I would encourage you to do is keep this conversation going, because what's going to be helpful is for you to talk with your leaders about how you can use technology in a way that honors God and doesn't get you trapped in the endless void of scrolling. Because if you were today, if no more content was to ever be created starting today, you could watch 24 hours a day for the rest of your life and you would die before you watched every video that's ever been posted on the internet already. Like, you'll never be scrolling TikTok and get to the bottom and be like, oh, that's all the TikToks. Like, come back tomorrow. Like, there will never be a prevention to keep going unless you guys are smart enough to put that in yourself and use it to honor God. So I hope this stimulates good small group discussions. I'm going to pray for us. And then leaders, I want to remind you that we have a leader meeting after this. So if all of you guys would exit the room, we're going to flip the room, and then we're going to have our leader meeting in here. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thanks so much for the gift that is technology and the ways that you've created it and just allowed us to think of these creative things and use them to glorify you, God. But I pray that you would help us do that. I pray that you would help us break the chains of being addicted to our phones and caught up with what the world has to say. God, I pray that we would be set apart and we would be glorifying to you in everything we do. Jesus, we love you and we are so thankful that your word says things about even technology that was invented long after it was written. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.